Good morning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 isn't in the Bible, really. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives indwelling me. And the Zoe life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally, and who gave himself up as a substitute for me. Welcome to Bible study. Another chance to learn how to live the new self life, the Zoe life, the resurrection life, a life of abundance. The Lord Jesus Christ has his believers targeted for a life beyond belief, and we live by faith in him. He is our hope. He is our sustenance. He is our protector. And we come to Bible study to learn what he is doing for us, even when we sleep. The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing, a time for us to gain a new perspective on our relationships, on our problems, on our spiritual walk, and on every little victory that God brings into our lives. And we forget the past. We look forward with eager anticipation to the future. The perspective we gain as we learn to look at life through God's eyes gives us joy. John chapter 15, verse 11 says this, "These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." And that's a promise. God is for us, therefore no one is successful against us. And we celebrate the fact that we know with absolute certainty that God loves us unconditionally, that God never gives us what we deserve. He always saves the best for last. Our God is special in that he is the only being ever to have risen from the dead in resurrection. And his resurrection gives us the confident expectation that we too will be resurrected from the dead someday in the future. Welcome to a place where you can learn about your God and where you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares you for renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song while you think about all the things that God gives you and all the things that God does for you that bring you joy. The opening song is Worthy.
Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to use your unconditional love in our everyday lives, and especially with our children. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. I have the gift of pastor-teacher, and it was given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's study, Unconditional Love Leads to Unconditional Parenting. Unconditional love leads to unconditional parenting. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is April 14th. That's next week. April 14th, it seems. Oh, is that the day after my birthday? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was just checking. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm getting old and I forget. Thank you. Yeah, cash, please. In small bills, envelopes. Homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation, June 15th and 16th. The weekend is being coordinated by Deacon Caleb Auburn and Mandy Auburn, and registration is on the website. Yay! I think there's six people registered so far, but I know a lot more people are coming than that, and they just haven't seen the registration yet, so we'll have a different number at the end of the next week, I think. Please register if you're coming so that we can know how many people to plan for. We're having some fun events, and Pastor John Farley will be joining us for the event. Yeah, the people in the residence, you should register as well. And that way we'll know that you're coming, because you might be going to a wedding that weekend or something. It'd be helpful for us to know whether you're coming or not as well. So anyone coming should register. Mark your calendars. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Bible Conference is August 9th, and the registration for that is also on the website. So please get your hotel if you're coming to that. I'd like to see a lot of you guys up there. And if there are some golfers in the group, there are some fantastic golf courses up there, so you might want to go up a couple days early. That's the time in Coeur d'Alene when the weather is beautiful and the city is beautiful. And John Miller has sent me pictures that shudder my bones. He sent me a picture with about 900 inches of snow coming off the trees, and I was glad that our conference is in August, believe me. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face Bible study April 21st, June 30th, September 1st, December 8th, December 29th. And also mark your calendars. The next prayer service is today, April 7th, right after this lesson. Soon-to-be resident congregation members, you can send your prayer requests to pastor@barahministries.com. Some happy birthdays to the April babies. Happy birthday to Nancy Rubel, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday to Trenton Ferris, whose birthday is tomorrow. Yeah, see, this all makes sense to me now, and I don't know why I didn't connect this last year, because, you know, I always talk to Trenton about his hair, because he's got this hairdo, and it kind of curls up like that. Well, his horoscope sign is Aries the Ram, and so this hairdo, he's trying to look like a ram, and I had no idea. I would have never said anything if I had known that. So, Trenton, I just want you to know I apologize to you for ever saying anything to your hair about your hair. Yeah, when you're talking to him, you're really talking to his hair. You know, it's like there's a face in there somewhere, but it's the hair. It's right up front. Happy birthday to Emily Brumbach on April 9th. Hey! Kira's mama. Happy birthday to me. Yeah. And then Rachel Johnston has a birthday coming up April 26th. So we'll say happy birthday to her again. The Barah Ministries Women's Fundraiser for April 19th is April 19th at 7 p.m. at Susie Embry's house. Oh, and this message just in, the men are having their fundraiser. It's a panty raid at the same location about 7:30. I couldn't resist that. But I know one thing, I am definitely joining that deal, right? That sounds like fun. All right, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall. The truth in the Bible is a gift from the grace of God, and our goal is to reflect this gift. So Barat Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for the Word of God at baratministries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive absolute truth extracted from the Bible by our gracious pastor. Believers are free to express their appreciation for this grace gift by giving of their time, talent, and treasure. And we have a freedom because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 confirms this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, this world and our flesh are all about slavery. Slavery to smartphones, TV shows, physical fitness, our careers. The list is truly endless. But the Bible says when we know the truth, it will set us free. So by now you've probably figured out that the freedom is the message this week. We're free to say, I believe. We're free to take in the Word of God. And we're free to spread the good news about Christ. But do we? Do we take advantage of interactions with others and tell them about the simplicity of the gospel? Do we use our freedom to tell people about what really matters in life? I know I don't always do it, but there's no reason to dwell on it or feel bad about it. Just use those missed opportunities as motivation to use your freedom of speech whenever you can. I'm reminded of our deacon meetings with Rory. He wanted us to be a team united in focus and purpose. A unified team has well-defined responsibilities and clear ground rules. And one of the ground rules we agreed upon was honesty. You see, with honesty as a requirement, we have the freedom to give real feedback to each other. We're free to tell one another the truth about themselves or a situation. There is no need to be a yes man and tell people what we think they want to hear. I'm free to tell Rory or the deacons my real feelings about something they are doing. For example, I'm free to tell Elliot that he should grab a shower now and again. But seriously, we're all free to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all free to give to this ministry. So show Satan your freedom by sharing the good news about Christ and sharing your time, talent, and treasure to help those still stuck in his slavery. Before giving, remember, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So let me end in prayer. That's a different verse, by the way. We're a different translation. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us a freedom through the Lord. Thank you for making us spiritual royalty. And I pray that you help us to remember our royal status and our blessed position in union with Christ. I pray that you help us to see the lessons in life and not the problems. I pray this through the unbreakable connection of the Holy Spirit and my union with Christ. Amen.
On high, I will.
Welcome back. I think the deacons expressed a preference in the last deacons meeting that we leave a box in the back, and that if you want to make your contributions, you can make your contributions in privacy. So this will probably be the last time that we go around and collect. So if you could just take it and put it in a box, or if you just want to give it to the deacons, that would be good. That way, you know. Because, you know, it almost reminds you kind of being Catholic Church, you know, where the person, we always had this one guy in our church who was an intimidator, right? And he passed the thing along, and then nobody would put anything in, and he'd go. And so Deacon Elliott's kind of hostile like that, too. So we, you know, just want to get that off the table. Yeah, he stinks and he's hostile. That's right. I know how to pick those deacons, don't I? Unconditional love leads to unconditional parenting. That is the subject of today's lesson. Unconditional love leads to unconditional parenting. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Perhaps some of you have heard of Pastor Rick Warren, who is of Saddleback Church in California. He wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and his son committed suicide a few days ago. And it was a depression-related suicide, and his son was 27 years old. A teenager I know attempted suicide this week, and by the grace of our Almighty God, he was not successful. But his situation turned my attention to the subject of parenting. I have seen powerlessness and desperation among parents of this generation for quite some time, and I think it is time for us to investigate that subject. Many parents today think they have no ability to influence their children, especially their teenage children. And I disagree, and so does the Word of God. I see parents of grown children intervening in the lives of their grown children, perhaps even intervening in the lives of their grandchildren, and I see the same powerlessness and desperation present in these interactions. These things are happening right here in our own congregation. So what's the solution to this human dilemma? There has to be a solution, and there is. There is a divine solution to every human problem. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "Beloved ones, let us love one another unconditionally, for unconditional love is from the source of God. And everyone who loves unconditionally is born of God." That means they're believers in Christ. "And everyone who loves unconditionally knows God." See, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are able to love unconditionally. We can duplicate the unconditional love God has for us, and we can direct it to others from the source of our new self. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, "The one who does not love unconditionally does not know God, for God is unconditional love." The old self does not love unconditionally, and the old self is not even able to love unconditionally. For example, what is the old self's reaction to an extramarital affair? The old self, which does not love unconditionally, will cry, "He cheated on me. She cheated on me," and will not forgive. Will not. Right? That's the old self reaction. But that is not the Christian reaction. And don't get me wrong. Don't think that I don't know how painful that is, because I do. Don't think I'm judging you, because I'm not. Don't beat yourself up, because you're human. But it's understandable what reacts that way, because the old self is that part of us which sins. The old self is the part of us. That dead part of us is the part of us that reacts that way. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. "But this unconditional love from the source of God, the unconditional love of God, was manifested. That is, it was made clearly visible in us, believers in Christ, through the new self. That God the Father has sent his uniquely born Son into the world so that we might live the Zoe life, the resurrection life, through him. 1 John 4:10. In this sending of his Son is unconditional love. And it's not that we loved God the Father unconditionally, but that God the Father loved us unconditionally and sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation, the only perfectly satisfactory payment recognized by God the Father for our sins. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved ones, if God the Father so loved us unconditionally, first class condition if, and he did, we also ought to love one another unconditionally. You see, in God the Father, we have a parent who loves us unconditionally. Therefore, as parents, we are asked by God to love our children unconditionally. Parents, do you love your children unconditionally? Or are you expecting something from them, and when they deliver it, only then will they be acceptable to you? Are you holding them to a set of standards that were shoved down your throat by your parents, which you did not like, and yet even though you didn't like them, you passed them on? Does Christianity show up in the parenting of your children? We know that expectations kill relationships. Unconditional love has no expectations. Unconditional love is a giving and forgiving love. Do you parents love your children unconditionally? Or do they have to perform for you? Do you give to them without expectation of return, just because you want to? Do you forgive their mistakes? Or do you bully them? Do you guilt trip them? Do you reject them? Do you harass them? Take a 5-minute break and think about your relationship with your children. welcome back. A quick reminder for those of you who have taken out your metal rubber hoses to flog yourself with, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. The truth will set you free. We're not here to judge you as parents. But I think that Christianity has to be lived. I don't think it's something that we just conceptually come in every week and we spend 3 hours and we go, isn't that guy funny? And then we go right back out and act just like we were acting before. This has to affect you. And when I talk to you about unconditional love and unconditional parenting, I'm talking about the kind of parenting that our God does. And I'm asking you to look at your parenting from behind God's eyes and see what you see about your parenting when you're looking from that position. Because let's face it, we have bought the way our parents did things and we just pass it on. Right? Welfare family begets welfare family. There got to be consequences. But, you know, there are parents who don't parent that way. And to me, those parents were soft. As opposed to saying, wait a minute, maybe those parents are looking at their kids with unconditional eyes. And maybe that's a whole different place to live. Because you can say whatever you want about your parenting and how good you think it is. But you have to ask yourself what your kids think about your parenting. What messages is your parenting sending to your kids? And when you find out what their viewpoint is, then you know what your parenting is like. Now, you don't have to beat yourself up about your parenting. You don't have to look over your shoulders into the past and wish you had done it differently. We all do. Anything in your parenting that is in the past can't be fixed. I made a lot of mistakes as a parent, even though I had a parenting philosophy and a parenting strategy. Yet by no means was I a perfect parent. I did not parent with unconditional love, and I was a coercive parent. Coercive parenting works perfectly as long as you are there, standing over the person and forcing them to do what you want done. It worked well when I was home, but since I traveled about 60 to 100 days a year, it made coercive parenting a tough strategy to run. Now, when my boys were 6 and 4 years old, a friend of mine pulled me aside with tears in his eyes and begged me not to be so hard on my children. I heard everything he said, and it actually really made me take a hard look at my parenting. And when I did, I really didn't like what I saw. I thanked him for the feedback, but I also told him that I felt that I was failing my children, that even though I was failing my children as a parent, at that moment, I was encouraged by the fact that I had at least 12 to 14 more years to perfect my quite imperfect parenting. If God wanted our children to have perfect human parents, he would have given them perfect human parents, but he did not. Khalil Gibran, in a book called The Prophet, offers sound advice to parents about their children. He says this, "A woman who held a babe against her bosom said, 'Speak to us of children.' And he said, 'Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they're with you, yet they belong not to you.'"
It always stops when it gets good, doesn't it?
"You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor does it tarry with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer, our Almighty God, sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you parents with his might, that his arrows, your children, may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. Do you parents love your children unconditionally? Do you understand that your job as a parent is temporary? Do you understand that your job is to create competent individuals who can stand on their own two feet independently by the age of 18? Do you realize that you have that job to do in the face of some of the toughest resistance that you will ever experience in your life? Do you understand that it is never too late to influence your children before they leave your home? Do you understand that your parenting can drive a child to think that the only way out is suicide? The teenager that I know who attempted suicide this week did not attempt suicide because he is depressed. He attempted suicide because he was desperate and he saw no other way out. Because he was being judged and he couldn't take it anymore. And it's sobering. You know, there are a lot of broken people in our periphery. And it's sobering. It shakes you up because we are really insensitive to other human beings on a regular basis. Really insensitive. Why does it take this to wake us up? Why does it take this to make us realize how difficult the parenting task is? It's the toughest job you will ever have, and the most rewarding, I might add. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. As you know, I interact with a lot of you on a regular basis. The most frequent subject is parenting. Not quite as frequent as your discussions about relationships. Is he my right man? But parenting is very close second on the list. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. The Proverbs make several comments on life and on conduct and have especially sound advice about child rearing. Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. A parent can provide children under the age of 13 with the temporary discomfort of spankings to save them the long-term discomfort of an undisciplined life. But Dr. Spock has convinced everyone that timeouts are the way to get children's attention. I guarantee you, the way to get a child's attention is gluteus maximus. And when we don't, what happens is we have kids who are not authority-oriented. But gratefully, we have a police force that is able to deal with children who are not authority-oriented. But unfortunately, it's usually with a bullet in their head. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, discipline your son while there is hope and do not desire his death. When son is mentioned, it is not a commentary about male children. Females are included as well. This is a Hebrew imperative, and it warns against parental passivity that can lead to a child's death. I have never seen a generation of parents that are more passive than the generation of parents that are in operation right now. Passive parents. Powerless parents who think that they can't influence anybody. If you can't influence a person that you gave birth to, who can? But what does it take? Unconditional love. It takes unconditional love. Because unconditional love is what drew the prostitutes to God. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. What does that mean? Dedicate yourself to a child in the way he should go. Narrow his path. And even when he's old, he will not turn away from it. Narrow the path of the child. What does that mean? That means that video games are not a substitute for you. That means that it's much more important for you to be talking to your children than it is for them to be playing on computers and video games and learning through inanimate objects. Because there is nothing on a phone, a computer, or on a video game that is teaching your children character. Nothing. It is killing their time. It is stealing their brain. It is limiting their focus. It is teaching them to be socially retarded, to not value or have relationships with other people, not to have empathy for other people. And that's the generation of people that we have coming up. Kids who have absolutely no empathy for anyone, who don't listen to anyone, and it is not their fault. It is the fault of passive parents. But establishing patterns early has big payoff later. Who says this? Dr. Spock? This is Dr. Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what he's talking about. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What do children like to do? They like to play. I actually like that about them. I think it's unfortunate that adults get to a point in their lives where they forget to play. Everything can be fun. You know, we catch ourselves every once in a while, and here doing Bible study, we actually catch ourselves laughing. That's kind of sacrilegious, isn't it? I mean, that's against the rules. You can't learn about God and laugh and have fun. No, you can't tease each other in church. You're supposed to be quiet. No, that's not the way it is. So I like the fact that children like to play. What I don't like is that's all they want to do. It's like work first, then play. In equal measure. Discipline replaces folly with wisdom. What is discipline? Training in a character pattern. Training people who don't want to learn how to think. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol, hell. The wise child benefits from discipline. I don't recommend spanking teenagers. At the age of 13, that becomes humiliating. But until their 13th birthday, wear those little gluteus maximus, that's out. And you know what? What's cool about it is you won't have to do it that much. Because what you're doing is establishing what constitutes great conduct. What constitutes great thinking. The wise child benefits from discipline. Proverbs 29:17, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. The payoff for disciplining your child is peace and joy. In the New Testament, a few verses as well. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Parenting ends, and some of you parents need to decide when that is. Moms, my God, help a brother out, right? Moms have it bad. Oh, you're always going to be a mother. Yeah, that's why your kids are not going to change your diapers when you're in the rest home. They're not going to like you very much because you don't butt out of their lives. You check Genesis chapter 2, before there were in-laws, in-laws were told to butt out. You need to raise adults and let them be adults. And you know what the worst part of parenting is your kids actually make mistakes. Oh, my God. Your kids actually make decisions which you absolutely know they're going down the wrong path. Oh, my God. Is that okay with you? No, but it was okay when you did it, though, right? When you made the decisions to go down a path that your parents thought were dumb, and they let you do it, it was okay with you, right? But when your kids do it, it's not okay with you. How can that be? Where are you looking from? Are you looking from your view or are you looking from God's view? Because if you get behind God's eyes and look at you, what does he allow you to do? He allows you to experience life. And if you make a lousy decision, he allows you to make the lousy decision and go down that path. And he stays with you down that path. And he helps you correct it. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't turn his back on you. He doesn't say, you're stupid for not deciding what I wanted you to decide. He doesn't operate that way. Are these the messages that we want to send to our children, that they're stupid every time they do something that we don't agree with? Do we question why our kids don't want to have a relationship with us? Why they don't like us very much? These are the hard questions that we have to ask ourselves as parents when we start looking at life from God's eyes. And we ask ourselves these questions, but we don't beat ourselves up when we find the answers. We just make adjustments. You know, teenagers, I love teenagers. You know, I call them cretins because that's what they are. You know, aliens abduct their brain at age 13. Doesn't bring them back until age 20. We understand that. But if you just shut up and listen to a teenager once in a while, you'll get some real wisdom, especially about you. Because they go to that place, you know, where all of a sudden you don't hang the moon anymore. They go start listening to stupid people. They go start listening to other peers. Right? They're getting sexual advice from another 13-year-old. That's beautiful. And they don't want to come to you because it's embarrassing to come to you. But Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There are a lot of absentee fathers in the home these days, fathers who have sold out their parenting, who have turned their back on their kids, and who turned all of the parenting over to the mom. Now that's brutal for a woman. It's brutal. And let me say that in light of the fact that I grew up around black women who, you know, the big mamas, have you ever seen the movie Big Mama? You know, the big mama who slapped you in the head every time you got out of line. They're very strong black women who really knew how to raise kids, but that's brutal for them to have to handle that whole responsibility. Whether you're divorced or married, the father needs to engage. And typically when the fathers do engage, what are they doing? Provoking the kids to anger, beating the kids up, sending them lousy messages. You're not. They're doing that to themselves. They don't need that from you. People need encouragement. If you want a rose to grow, you don't go outside and yell at it every day. You water it. Stupid, why didn't you grow? We need to water our relationships. Treat them with kindness and love. That unconditional love is what changes things. If you have a relationship with your kids and it's not changing, why don't you try unconditional love? It worked with the prostitutes. How would your kid react to you if they thought that you were looking at them without judging? Whole new ball game. Fathers, get on the job. What? Discipline and instruction in the Lord. If I've got one thing that I can do with my kids the whole time, I'm going to lead them to Christ. If I've got only two things I'm going to do, I'm going to lead them to His Word. And believe me, that takes care of 95% of the problem. Everything else is just details. Fathers have to watch the tendency to be overbearing, to introduce too many rules, to make unreasonable demands, and to promote a climate of favoritism. Next week, I'm going to share with you some 10 things that I think are key to engaging your children. And one of them is you do not own your children just because you house them. You do not own your children simply because you had them. That earns you nothing. You have to win children's hearts. And when you do, there's nothing more magnificent than that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, a message to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And what's the promise? That if you honor your father and your mother, it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. You will live an extended life, courtesy of God, for honoring your father and your mother. And let me tell you something. Sometimes fathers and mothers are hard to honor. But children, you can choose to look at your parents with unconditional love as well. And as a matter of fact, most kids do. Kids who are berating their female parents. Out of line. And that conduct is conduct that gets taken into the marriage relationship as well. And it can land you in jail. Women are to be treated with respect and as special, because that's what they are. You can love your children with unconditional love. And when you look at your children and you see them as God sees them, you will never allow them to think that they are a disappointment to you. We'll spend a few lessons illustrating what unconditional love is when it comes to parenting, as a way for us to remember that it's not the Christian way of life. It's the Christian way of living. And let me tell you something. I've talked to a lot of you about some very personal things related to your parenting. Please do not think that this lesson came up because of our conversations, because it did not. This lesson came up because there was a suicide attempt in the family. And that got me just desperate enough to put together some thoughts that I've been having for a really long time about this. And it's perfect time now that we're talking about the center of the Creator clock, which is unconditional love. And I'm not talking only to the parents who are on the other side of parenting. And I'm not talking only to the parents who are in the fire. But I'm also talking to the people who are going to be welcoming children into the royal family very shortly. This is a big deal because the whole creature-creator conflict is about relationships. And relationships are advanced with unconditional love. And unconditional love means no conditions. And if you don't understand how to love that way, I understand. I never did during my parenting. I never understood it. The demise of my marriage was my fault, lack of unconditional love. So, please, don't beat yourself up about this. We make mistakes in life. But this is a love that changes everything. And this is what our God has invited us to. To learn about this, because this is the center of the Christian way of life. Closing song, Take My Hand. Led by That song's real funny because I always get really into it, and then it's one of those songs that just ends, and there's always this point toward the end where I have this panic inside, like, get up! So, thank you, June. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back because he cares for you, not to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us lessons that we can apply on unconditional love, especially unconditional love toward our children. Please help us to understand what the way to handle the situations are in our lives in light of unconditional love. Help us to remember that you change things with unconditional love, and that you truly have no conditions, yet you always seem to get the exact result you want. Help us to learn that we can do the same thing. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.